please? The 12th Division of the Melbourne Magistrates Court is now resumed. Please be seated. Recalling the matter of Kyle McGee.
Just take a seat for a moment, please, Mr. McGee. I've got to look under this somewhat archaic piece of IBM junk. Before I start in the McGee matter, Ms. Hartnett, in relation to Henry Nelson, I want to hand you down a letter that you may or may not have seen from MDAS.
Thank you.
In this case, the accused, Mr. Kyle McGee, is charged with a single offence under the Summary Offences Act, Section 10, Subsection 1, of effectively posting a placard without consent. The factual matrix in this case is effectively not disputed. Mr. McGee indicated from an early point in the matter, having pleaded not guilty, that he was prepared to consent to the tender of the witness statement of the informant, Jasbir Sidhu. I hope I've pronounced his name close to accurately. And effectively, apart from asking some questions in relation to his, Mr. McGee's, demeanour during his interaction with the police on the 9th of March last, he didn't seek to join issue at all with his conduct. He then gave evidence and in that evidence sought to explain that it was his view on the basis of firmly held beliefs that the advertising by commercial entities in public places and spaces was an imposition upon the community, an undesirable, an inappropriate circumstance that he personally felt was his duty to do something about. It would seem from the context of his evidence that this isn't the first occasion that he's engaged in this kind of conduct, but I put that circumstance completely to one side in my deliberations. Having gone into the witness box, the prosecutor then showed Mr. McGee a video, I'll call it, for want of a better description, which, although its source was never fully explained to me, it would seem by implication that it was a download from something found on the internet. Although Mr. McGee didn't watch the whole incident before conceding it, he watched a small portion of it and readily conceded that it was a video recording of the actual incident that gives rise to the charge. That material is contained on a DVD, and that DVD is Exhibit B in this case. Jasbir Sidhu's pardon me. Statement is Exhibit A. Mr. McGee effectively relies upon the provisions of the human rights legislation in this state, and in particular his asserted right to free speech, and asserts that in the circumstances, in particular, that the item of property that he embarked upon covering with apparently some form of glue, and thereafter various sheets of black paper followed by a single written document, is on his assertion owned by a corporation rather than a natural person, and as a consequence he is not caught by the provisions of the Human Rights Act in relation to potentially inappropriately exercising his rights against the property of another person. The decision of His Honour Justice Kairu, as he then was, now Justice of Appeal Kairu, from the 11th of September 2002 was referred to by Mr. McGee. That decision clearly involves him and, I assume, some earlier informant by the name of Delaney. I've had recourse to remind myself of the content of His Honour's decision. As I indicated in discussion with Mr. McGee, it's my view that the determination of Justice Kairu in relation to the issue of legal personality as it applies pursuant to the provisions of the Human Rights Act is a decision that, in my view, in the context of this case, is binding upon me. And even if I'm wrong in that view, and it's only persuasive, I would have no hesitation in saying that I would feel constrained to follow it. I'm not in a position, in my view, to effectively otherwise seek to assert that a learned justice of the Supreme Court is incorrect in a view that they've formed on such a fundamental premise of the human rights legislation of this state. In discussion or submissions with Mr. McGee, when I indicated that to him, he, I think, quite rationally conceded that if that was my view, then probably he didn't have an argument. And my view is that that concession was properly made. His right to free speech exists both at common law and under the legislative framework of the human rights legislation enacted by the BRACS government under the auspices of perhaps this state's most reforming Attorney General, certainly in its history for the last 50 years, Mr. Hulls. My view, however, is that that legislation doesn't give Mr. McGee the right to break the law in the way that he did. It certainly doesn't give him a defence in relation to it. He canvassed issues in relation to, well, what if he was standing in front of the sign holding a placard that obscured it for the time that he was standing there? It's not for me to give him advice, but that's not the factual matrix in this particular case. It's fairly clear to me that Mr. McGee has modified his behaviour to some degree in the context of the decision in McGee and Delaney, and retreated from his earlier methodology of apparently painting over signs to affixing obscured pieces of paper, which he asserts, and there's no evidence one way or the other as to whether his assertion is right, are capable of being washed away by the application of some form of high-pressure water. He's not charged with criminal damage pursuant to the provisions of 197 of the Crimes Act. He's not even charged with willful damage under the provisions of the Summary Offences Act. He is charged with effectively posting a placard without consent. The charge, as I indicated, amongst other things, alleges that he did it without the consent of the asserted owner of the advertising billboard, to wit, an entity referred to in the charge sheet as Adshel. That description of itself does not connote what kind of legal personality Adshel is. It doesn't indicate whether it's some form of registered business name, whether it's a corporation, and if it is, what its corporation status is. I raised some concerns with the prosecutor in relation to the fact that there was no evidence before me whatsoever as to what Adshel was and whether or not Adshel had either given or not given consent to Mr. McGee's conduct in this particular case. Having looked at the provision over the lunch and adjournment, in my view, the evidence that is conceded by Mr. McGee as to his conduct, coupled with the evidence in cross-examination that he gave that he did not have permission from any person, is sufficient for the purposes of the proof of the charge. And in my view, the particular purporting to name an unknown entity of Adshel does not generate a fatality for the purposes of the charge. My view is that the evidence supports the charge, and the asserted defence pursuant to the provisions of the Human Rights Act is in fact not available at law for Mr. McGee on the basis of the determination of His Honour Justice Kairu, which in my view, although relating to a different charge, is still highly germane to this particular matter. I don't propose to go into further detail unless one or other of the parties seeks further explanation. I find the charge proved. And Mr. McGee, do you want further explanation from me as to my position?
No, it's okay. I understand. All right.
Do you?
No, you're right. That's
sufficient. All right. Having found the charge proved, Mr. McGee, the next course would be to ask the prosecutor if there are any matters to be alleged against you. If there are, I'll ask him to show you whatever document he wants to put to me so that you can check to make sure it's accurate. Are there any priors?
Yes, Your Honour. I might approach and show
yes. Yes, do you accept that those are the accurate prior matters?
Yep.
Yes, well, I've been handed a set of documents, pages 1 to 5, and the most recent of those indicates Mr. McGee was dealt with at this court on the 14th of November last year in relation to a charge of defacing a structure without consent and was given a minor fine. The priors go over a number of pages, almost apparently exclusively, this court finalised. is almost apparently exclusively this court finalising with an appearance, a first noted appearance in March of 2007, where he was sentenced to a suspended jail term of 2 years. Of 2 months, wholly suspended for 1 year. Yes, Mr. McGee, what do you wish to say to me about these matters? Could you stand up, please?
Yep. I guess the biggest thing to say about them is that they're all in relation to this protest against for-profit advertising in public space, as well as its role in financing the majority of our media and, you know, the conflict of interest I think that poses for democracy. Prior to that, I was a student, bound to be middle class, good boy, but the only reason I'm stepping outside the law is because I think it's necessary in this case to cause this issue to enter the public sphere, a public sphere that's sort of designed to keep these sorts of ideas out. Doesn't matter how many academics or I guess anyone writes about this issue and how brilliant their explanation is, it still seems to escape the attention of the population at large.
Well, I understand what your position is to as far as I'm able, but I can't condone it at all. And from my perspective as a sworn judicial officer, it's my duty to uphold the law, and my concern is that it seems that it's likely that you'll just simply continue in the course. So it really leaves me with a fair amount of difficulty as to how I deal with you. It strikes me as highly unlikely that you'd be prepared to consent to any kind of order that would prohibit you from this conduct.
Yep.
Secondly, it seems highly unlikely to me that you would consent to any form of corrections disposition. Because of the date of this offence, I still have available to me the potential option of imposing a jail sentence that's wholly or partially suspended. But I note that as of the 1st of September this year, that sentencing option is no longer available for any court in this state for any offence committed on or after that date. Or I can fine you, or jail you and suspend or partially suspend. Now, it's a matter for you as to whether or not you want to put anything to me that you want me to take into account in determining penalty. If you wish to, now's your opportunity.
I don't know what to say to that. What would a lawyer normally say? I don't know. I've got a 2-year-old
daughter.
Well,
again, I'm not trying to be difficult, but I'm not here to give you advice.
Yeah,
the sorts of things that I might be interested in are what your financial position is, what your obligations are. You spoke of a child.
Yeah, my financial position is pretty grim. I'm not going to be able to pay anything, really. And, yeah, obviously I don't like jail. Obviously I've got a 2-year-old
daughter. Well, you've been there on various occasions for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, is there anything else you want to say to me?
I don't think there is anything else to say.
All right, thank you. Bearing in mind recent High Court decisions, are there any matters that you want to put to me as to penalty?
No, Your Honor. It's a matter for the court.
Could you stand up, please, Mr. McGee? Mr. McGee, you've been sentenced to various terms of imprisonment in the past. Most recently, in November last year, you were given in the context of your prior history, an extraordinarily beneficial penalty, in my view. And here you are, 4 months or thereabouts later, behaving in a very similar manner. I don't see necessarily that jail's going to make a huge deal of difference to you. There's clearly no real capacity to pay a fine. It seems highly improbable that you'd seek to convert any fine. My view is that a line in the sand needs to be drawn here, and I'm prepared to draw it. What will happen thereafter will be solely within your control. Bearing in mind your history, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine prior court appearances for similar offences. In my view, the offence needs to be dealt with a significant sentence. Accordingly, you'll be convicted and sentenced to be in prison for a period of 70 days, 10 weeks. And I wholly suspend that period of time, for a period of 2 years. You need to understand that if you commit any jailable offence of any kind in the next 2 years, then unless you're able to demonstrate exceptional circumstances that would make it effectively unjust for you to be required to go to jail on this matter, you'll be required to serve that 10 weeks. And potentially any further sentence that may be imposed for the breaching offence. I'm prepared to suspend the sentence on the basis that I accept that, although in my view, I'm quite sure you will ignore my comment, in my view, your methodologies are misguided. I'm satisfied that this conduct is outside the usual kind of graffiti behaviour and is driven by a political commitment. Few, I suspect, would necessarily agree with your methodology. There may be more than a few that agree with your views. But my view is that this sentence potentially gives you the incentive to behave yourself for a couple of years. If you don't and continue in this way, then the overwhelming probability is you will go to jail for some period of time in excess of 10 weeks. Do you understand the order?
Of course.
Thank you. You can sit down. Are there any other applications?
There are no ancillary applications.
Yes, all right.
The court pleases.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. You're excused.
May I also be excused?
Assuming that the sergeant's going to help me, yes. Yes, you can be. Thank you for your assistance.
Thank you.
Can we organise for Mr. Nelson to be called on, please?